Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Isai. As we advance to Sefer VaYikra, this week we will be reading Rezo Hashem Parashas Tazria. The Parashas Tazria usually is read after Pesach, because we're in the middle of a leap year this year, so we're reading the Parashas of Tazria before Pesach. It's very appropriate to read the Parashas of Tazria before Pesach, and perhaps we'll see why. The Parsha starts off talking about Vaidaber Hashem and Moshe Leimer, talking about the birth of a child, how a human being is born. Vaidaber Bnei Yisrael Leimer, Yishuk Kisazvi, Vayald HaZachar, the halachas of a child being born, the halachas of the Tumah that she goes through, the difference between a Zachar and a Keva, and he has the mitzvah of Bris Mila, Vayem HaShmini, Yimel B'tzar HaLasai. And Rashi tells us, why do we start talking about this right after Parashas Shmini? Amar of Simlai, Kashem Sheitzirasa Shel Adam, Acha Kol Behema, Chayiv Oif, just like when the world was created, the creation of man took place in the Seder of the world, of the Sheish Shemei Bereishis, after it discussed the creation of the animals and the birds and the fish, the Ma'aseh Bereishis, Kach Terasa Nisparsha, Acha Teres Behema, Chayiv Oif. In the previous parasha, we talked about the whole Torah of animals, the kosher animals, the not kosher animals, birds and fish, the different simanim, different signs of kosher and not kosher animals and fish and birds. Now, we're going to talk about the Torah of an Adam. The Torah is Adam. And we start off with the birth of a Zachar, with the Mitzvah Bris Mila. Right afterwards, we go into the parasha of Tzaras, talking about Tzaras, when a person gets leprosy for speaking Lashon Hara. And when a person gets leprosy, the halachas are very, very complicated, very serious. And there's examinations that have to be given out by a doctor, by the kohen. The kohen comes to check to see what happened, how it advances, what colors come. And there's tzaras in the guf, tzaras in the begadim, tzaras in the houses, in all different places. And it's a very serious offense. Like the pasuk says, "Vatzaru asher b'hanega," right? The one who is afflicted with tzaras, the tzarua, the one who has tzaras, that's afflicted with tzaras, begad of you prumim, his clothing has to be, torn. V'roisha yeh perua, and his hair is uncovered. Goes long, and his mustache winds up covering over his lips. But tame yikra, and we call out to him that his tame will, he's contaminated. His tame. Kol yemei asher hanega ba yitma tame hu. All the days that he has this tzaras, he has this leprosy, he's considered tame. But the Yeshev, Bechutz HaMachaneh, he has to stay outside the Moshava. His dwelling place has to be outside the Machaneh, outside the encampment of Klal Yisrael, excluded and out of connection with everybody. Now, it's interesting that the Tumah of Tzaras is something which is very, very complicated, but it's not the strongest and highest level of Tumah. There are other types of Tumah which we are acquainted with as well. We don't find that the severity of those cases of tumah are so terrible. We don't make him have to leave the machaneh. He doesn't have to go outside. His clothing doesn't have to be torn. He doesn't have to grow in his hair and his mustache. He doesn't have to walk around with a sign saying that he's tumah and is announcing to everybody, but he's supposed to be out of the machaneh. But let's say somebody has to get to him, he has to walk around with letting him be labeled as if he's something which is something wrong with him. And we don't do that by other tumah cases of tumas. Secondly, we find, let's say there's another case that, let's say, by a person who kills somebody is b'shoigeg. He accidentally kills someone, we send him into Golis. When we send him into Golis, we take care of him. If he goes to the Golis, his Rebbe goes out with him, we make sure nobody should hurt him, he has everything set up for him over there, and over here, he goes out into Golis, and he's left, without anything. Why is it that we go to such extents over here when it comes to Tzaras, that we go ahead and we excommunicate him and we humiliate him and we in all different types of ways. Why is that such an important thing that we wind up doing? So I saw the Shmuzim and Sichot of Rav Tzucker that he says like this. He wanted to answer based on a story, an interesting story that happened. A number of years ago, there was a university in America that was doing a study. And they were trying to figure out why businessmen, there were certain successful businessmen, what made them successful. So they took 250 students and they sent them out to all different places where they had recorded famous wealthy businessmen that existed and had them spend time interviewing them and speaking to them and finding out, like, what is it that made them successful? What is it that made them successful? And they interviewed 250. It took a year and a half. They interviewed 250 of them, and it came out that 249 all basically said the same thing. They basically said, in order to be able to survive, you have to be able to get compete with your competitors, knock them down, you have to have good PR, you have to be able to have people who are going to belittle the competitors, you have to be able to fight, to be able to get yourself in and do whatever you have to do to get that. Like, you know, doesn't make a difference what happens to anybody else. You know, there's a line that people sometimes say, business is business, and sometimes they forget their priorities and their midos and anything that's there, because business is business, I gotta make money. There was one specific businessman that was very, very wealthy, a Yid, that he had a whole totally different approach to how he dealt with his competitors. He's very respectful, dealt with them in a very menschlich way, and he made it very, very big. And the person who was running this project, he didn't understand how could it be that 249 businessmen all had one approach, and this one person had a different approach. How could that be? So he decided he's going to visit this person and find out himself. So he comes to this Yid, and he says to him, you know, can you please explain to me what was your thinking process when you started to think to yourself to run your business the way that you do? He says, yeah, I'll tell you the truth. He said, when I was young, his father passed away and left him over a chain of pharmacies all over the world, a famous chain of pharmacies, I don't know which one it is, you know, CVS, whatever it is, in all over the world, of pharmacies all over the world. And he gave it over to him before he was dying to tell him, you got to listen, you're going to get this. This is going to be the chain of pharmacies you're going to be in charge of all over the world. And I'm telling you, if you want to be successful with it, you got to be like, you know, you got to take things apart and take things apart, be like a hungry lion and go ahead and do whatever has to be done. Don't worry about anybody else. If you're going to worry about anybody else, you're not going to get anywhere. You got to be able to stand up for yourself and be successful. So he took his father's advice. After his father passed away, he took over the chain of pharmacies, and he was being very successful, and that's exactly what he did. He basically did whatever he had to do, whether it was on the cheshbon of anybody else, it made no difference. And he went ahead, and he went further, and he became very successful. At one point, he decided that, you know, he had a whole bunch of branches of his pharmacies all over the world, and he wanted to do something special for the managers. Each pharmacy had a manager. He wanted to make a special world tour to go around the world to different places and to see different places, to be able to understand different things, different businesses, different things, to see what that can be, and tour the countries and to see the countries. And he took with him a whole bunch of managers, supervisors with him on this trip. And he went to basically every country around in the world. And the last place that he came to was the country that Eretz Yisrael. He was a Jew. The last place that he came to was Eretz Yisrael. And when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they had a very good tour guide. From Yid, the tour guide. And he took them all around the country and showed them all different types of historical sites and all the, you know, interesting things. And on the last day that they were finishing their trip, He brought them to Yerushalayim. They went to the Kaisel. He said, today is going to be the highlight of the trip. I'm going to take you to a place that's going to be, you know, that's an unbelievable place. That's going to make you tremendously impressed. So they started thinking of, well, he's going to take us to some type of archaeological site, or some type of historical site. What's it going to be? Where is he going to take us? So he takes them deep into Yerushalayim, and he brings them into the neighborhood of Be'er Sharim, and he starts taking them through the thin, narrow streets. They see all the Yerushalmim and all the people working there. And then he comes in front of a building, and he tells them, let me ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. If, let's say, you had a university that had to house and take care of 6,000 students, how big of an area would you need? What's the overhead that you would need? He says, well, you know, you probably have to have like around 300 teachers, 600 teachers, where, you know, estimating the how many students there are to you know, the amount of teachers. And you for sure have to have an area of, 150,000 meters, square meters of an area to house such an amount of people to be able to study and to have all the classes and do everything. And, you need a big overhead. So they said, you see this building over here? In this building, there's 6,000 students that learn in this neighborhood over here. And they have about 3,000 meters total of the whole area between the different buildings over here. And they cater to 6,000 students. And there's one person that runs the whole place. And about 40 teachers, 40 instructors that they have there. So he takes them into Meir Yeshiva. And they said, we don't believe you. This can't be. And you come around and they see that the place is full to capacity. You walk into the basement, you should walk over there. I mean, I learned the Baruch Hashem for 12 years. And I remember, you know, people would have such ingenuity of where they would find places to learn. I remember those steps that went from the Azestashim to the top floor. There were two Bachim that would sit underneath the steps. You know, they made themselves a place over there. There was such ingenuity of being able to find how everyone was able to fit into there together and to be able to accommodate such a big crowd. And they said to themselves, this is unbelievable. How do they do this here? And they said, well, you know, there's somebody I want you to meet. I want you to meet the person that's in charge of this whole, this is a university for Talmud, where they learn Talmud over here. I want you to be able to meet the person that's in charge of this university. So he takes them across the street. They come across the street, and there was a house that was, that had an old entrance. And old outside, the front of the house, the building looked very run down, which we all remember this, right? And they come into the building, which had a very simple look to it. And they walk into a room. They open up the room. And there in the room was an older man sitting at the desk, sitting at the table, who smiled at them when they walked in. And they come in, and they see that he's shaking because he had Parkinson's. And it was none other than Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. And when they looked at him, they looked at him in surprise, and they asked him, they came to him, they said, can we just ask the rabbi a question over here? How is it possible that you're able to cater to 6,000 students like this in an area that's so small, with such a small faculty, and to be able to get to everybody and to be able to do that? How is it possible for you to be able to accommodate that? So the Rosh Hashiva of Nosson Tzvi answered them like this. He said, in the world, you have two different types of beings in the world. You have animals and you have people. He says, an animal, the way an animal works is, an animal has to survive. An animal teaches itself to be able to survive. And therefore, whatever it's going to need to do in order to be able to survive, it's going to do. For example, if an animal is hungry and somebody takes a piece of meat and puts it in front of 5-10 animals over there, they're going to go at it and fight with each other until they get what has to be done. Nobody thinks about anybody else but bite each other or hit each other until they get what they want, because an animal has to survive. He says that a ben adam, a person, right? A person trains himself to be able to understand, even if I have things that I want, but he teaches himself to control himself, to hold himself back, and to think to himself, okay, there's the things that I want, but there are other people here as well, and what am I going to do here that it shouldn't be on the cheshbon, it shouldn't be that the other person have to pay the price for my comfort that I'm going to have over here. That's what we work on teaching over here in our yeshiva. And when you have a situation where everyone is thinking about the other one, then you can make it work in all types of situations and be matzliach with that. The ticket of what he taught them was, right? Because we see them as a ben adam, and when a person sees them as ben adam, so a person sees a person, when a person sees people, then he sees a yachid, a single person, is not just a single person, because he's part of the rabbin. And they also see the rabbin as one unified figure together. Everything they're together. And that is why we're able to matzliach with catering to so many talmidim under such a small area like this. So this wealthy person said, once I heard that, I changed my whole approach, and I realized that the advice that I got from my father was to fight like a lion, like a hungry lion. And I realized that my objective of what I have to be able to do in order to be matzliach is to be an adam. Now, our tongue that we have is a very powerful tool. Chazal tell us, "Hamavus v'chayim b'yad haloshon." And the tongue, the conversation, the prayer of conversation of a person being able to talk to somebody, makes the connection between him and another person, and is able to give the person that uplifting experience to make that connection with them, to be able to get to the other person. When that koyach is tampered with, so then that's eating off the other person's, on the other person's, you know, convenience, or the other person's benefit, or affecting the other person, that's not an adam anymore. That's a behemah. And if a person lives like a behemah, that he has to be excommunicated, he has to be sent down. He cannot be in the same area as another. And that's why he has to have a sign on him or label to tell him, Tami, Tami Yikra. And that's why he has to be able to cover up his mouth, because the mouth is something which is not being used properly in the way that it has to be done. And that's why his clothing has to be torn, because the clothing is something which misleads us sometimes. Sometimes if you have a person that's not acting properly, and he wears clothing of chashivas, we can think that he's chashiv. So it has a misleading understanding. So if a person is not presenting himself in a proper way, then that's like an animal. Animals don't walk around with clothing. It is what it is. So the whole idea of the einish and the severity of mitzari is because it takes away the whole quality of the other. And that's why, when we're talking about, like the Rashi said before, that after we spoke about the Torah's behemah, the chayis v'ayfais, about the behemahs, the chayis and the ayfais, now we're talking about the Adam, the first thing that we're going to talk about is the issue of Lashon Hara, and the Indian of Lashon Hara, because when a person is speaking Lashon Hara, it's something which is on the cheshbon of somebody else, that's knocking somebody else, and that's something which is like an animal, just like an animal, just cares for itself, like if nothing sees it. And that's really the connection to Pesach. Pesach, one of the most important things that happens to us in Pesach is that we become the Am of Hashem. Am Yisrael, we were recreated. There's a certain recreation that happens to us. That's what I've said many times from Shimshon Pinkus, that he says that the mitzvahs that we do by the Seder, matzah, we drink yayin. Matzah is white, and yayin is red. And when we eat the matzah, just like we have a physical body, we have a spiritual body. And just like in our physical body, we have white skin and bones and teeth. Right, so the matzah is the white nourishment that we give to the white part of our spiritual body, and just like in our body we have dam, which is blood that goes through our body, so the yayin, that's why one of the special reasons why the special Indian for yayin adam, for red wine, other reasons as well, that it gives that spiritual nourishment to the spiritual part of our bodies, of the dam that goes through our body. There's a recreation that's happening in a person coming to an Adam. And the whole idea of Pesach is Pesach. The mouth speaks, the mouth tells up the story and talks about the whole Muna. If our mouths are not being used properly, that has a whole effect on the whole building that we build ourselves for becoming Yam Hashem. And therefore it's a proper preparation for Pesach for a person to be able to work on how he uses his mouth. As Hashem, we should all be able to internalize this and take this. The first thing we have to be able to always think is, think about how the other person feels. Think about the other person needs. Think what the other person might be going through. And then before we open our mouth and we start saying something, think for a second, is this something that's going to build that? Or is this something that's going to be knocking and benefit my own personal gain, which Chazal are telling us is similar to an animal. And therefore a person has to be able to internalize that and take it to the proper place, because we're Bnei Adam, we're Bnei Torah, and with that, Bez Hashem, that should be a proper hachana for us to come to a proper hachana for Pesach and be able to bring us the Gula Shleima, which we need so much and so dearly and so dearly and nearly. We need that very, very much, Bez Hashem. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos and Kol Tov.